Good evening. Appreciate Robert leading our singing, Brother Nick this morning, and those that lead us in prayer. We're very thankful for all those that participate in the service, for each and every member. We all participate, don't we? If you have Haley's handbook on the Bible, we've suggested many times to try to purchase one of those. And I recommend trying to just get an old one. You could order it from the internet, but they've taken a lot of the church history that they don't want in, evidently, in the book. They've taken it out, which I think was very sad, and he would have disapproved of that. But he says in his book that it should be congregational singing. And that's what's in the New Testament. A lot of people don't even read the New Testament. It doesn't matter to them whether they have instruments or not. They like instruments, they have instruments. But for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the instruments were not used in the church at all. And a lot of people do not realize that. There's a reason for that, is that we're not authorized to have mechanical instruments of music in the worship. A lot of people say, well, David had it. David had 8 wives. A lot of things David did. He lived in a time in which they burnt incense. We don't burn incense in worship, but the old priesthood did. So we're glad you're here. This morning we have studied the subject of preparing for the lion's den. I'm supposed to speak on this subject, Lord willing, this coming Thursday. And we said this morning that Daniel had been placed in the position of 3 presidents, and he was considered the first and preferred, and that there were another 120 that were working for the king. I mentioned the Persian Empire and said that it was in Iran, and it was. Babylon, what we're talking about, was actually in Iraq, but because of the Medo-Persian and also the establishment of the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, I mentioned about the Persians were primarily in, of course, they ruled much about all the known world. They had a great army, they had a lot of money and ruled the world for 200 years. But this morning we talked about that they came up with a plot, a lion plot, to get Daniel and to trick him in some way, to trick the king, Darius, in order that Daniel would end up in the lion's den. And they came up with this plot, and they offered a specific law that you couldn't pray to anybody or any god for 30 days. And, of course, they knew that Daniel would pray. I think that's something that their whole plan was based on the righteousness of Daniel. The plan could not have been successful had Daniel said, well, you know, I think I could get by with this for 30 days. I'll pray at other times. God knows that I pray to him. I could just pray in secret. But every day he prayed toward Jerusalem, as we said, it was taught in 1 Kings chapter 8. And every day he prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day, morning, evening, middle of the day. And they knew that. So their whole plan depended upon the righteousness of Daniel. This evening, we want to begin with verse 10. And after this, after we read about this plot, it says in Daniel 6 and 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel put God first. I suppose every preacher that ever lived has preached that. I'm certain that Noah preached that. I'm certain that Job, that we mentioned from Ezekiel 14 this morning, I'm certain that he taught that. That was their conviction that God is first. But I will say this, it's easy for us to get involved in the world and the things of the world, and the next thing you know, God is not first. God is not first. So he did not change what he was doing. Daniel's prayers were as predictable as the sun comes up each and every day. They knew that. So we need to learn from this and pray on a regular basis. When I'm preaching on a subject like this, you look at somebody like Daniel, I would assume that we all feel kind of small, okay? We feel kind of small compared to this great man and his prayers. But we want to offer this advice because we're to prepare for the troubles ahead, prepare for the lion's den, and that is try to be very regular as you can be. And maybe look for other times to pray. Jesus talked about closing the closet. That meant going off and even by yourself having a prayer. All I can say is that I would recommend and the Bible would teach to pray regularly and don't ever cease praying. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And David made this statement. He said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So not only did he say that he would pray in these same times that Daniel prayed, but he said that God would hear his voice. He had confidence in God. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So the Apostle Paul in his letters emphasized prayer. Jesus emphasized prayer. And we emphasize prayer because we're Christians. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus gave a parable, the Bible says, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, as long as we're praying to God, as long as we're trusting in God with all of our hearts, we'll be able to stand. We'll be able to endure whatever we have to face. When you call it a lion's den, some difficulty. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about the fiery trials that we would have in this life. Don't think it strange that you're going to have a fiery trial. We all have fiery trials. Many of you have had a lot of fiery trials, but they bring you closer to God if you permit it. No one ever prayed like the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm reading and studying about Daniel, and my mind then goes to the Lord, goes to the Son of God we sang about, our Redeemer. And in Mark 1 and 35, it says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Think about that for a little bit. A great while before day. I can't tell you the time. I don't need to tell you the time. But I'm guessing it's maybe 3 or 3:30 in the morning. About the time that he walked on the water. You remember that was during that very same time period. So he got up a great while before the day and went off and prayed. It might be good for us to do that sometime. Maybe you do that. I don't know what everyone does. In Luke 22 and 44, and being in agony, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Nobody ever prayed like the Savior. But Daniel was a great man, a praying man. He didn't change. I don't think Daniel was worried about it, if he just asked my judgment. I don't think he was excited about it. He trusted God no matter what, sort of like Abraham. Abraham was told to go offer his son for a sacrifice. He got up early in the morning, saddled his animal, and off he went to do what God said do. So the devil's trap then was sprung. And we have said the last verse that we had this morning was Proverbs 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. I wish our leaders realized that. Some of them do. Wouldn't you like the leaders of the world to recognize there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord? You cannot defeat God. You cannot defeat what God is going to overcome. God had His plans. God knew what He was doing. In Daniel 6:11-13, He says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." We got him now. He's a praying man. "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree." Now, I want you to listen to this. You know the expression that somebody is going to stick their finger right in your eye. Have you ever heard that expression? That's what they're going to do to this king. I tell you what, he never did forget it either. So they come before the king and they said, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" Didn't you sign this? Well, yeah, he signed it. We said this morning that it wasn't very bright, but he signed it. We all make mistakes. "The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." They were known for this statement, that they did not change their laws. I'm convinced that there were ways to get around them. He got around it the next day, but it was too late. Of course, he had Daniel was still alive. But they took great pride in their leaders not making mistakes. Didn't have to alter it. It's going to be that way. So there's no escape. Daniel's going to be put in the lion's den. They stick their finger in his eye. "Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah." You notice that? There's their prejudice. "That Daniel, you know, he's just a slave. He's a captive from Judah, a Hebrew. Regardeth not thee, O king." Daniel regarded the king, but God regarded God higher. I regard our law officers, our rulers, our governors, whatever laws that we have, but God has always got to be the highest. When they had the Nuremberg trials, I used to have a book on that. Unfortunately, I sold some one time and I needed some money. I would like to get it back, but I had a book on the Nuremberg trials. And all these generals said, "We're just doing our duty. We're just doing what we're supposed to do, just like other people do in war." But these generals were involved in a whole lot more than just a war. And they proved that. And the judge said that there was a higher law. There is a higher law than the law of men. And that's God's law. And Daniel put it first. But he said, "He doesn't regard you, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So Daniel, he just more or less spit rot in your face. Daniel, that wasn't his attitude. He just knew that he's going to put God first. That's the way Daniel was. So the king's effort to undo the Satan's deceptive plan. And we're going to read this beginning with Daniel 6:14. And we'll mention these words. This king, we said at the beginning of the lesson, that Daniel had a way of winning the affection and the respect of reasonable people. I think that's true of every Christian. But in Daniel 6:14, "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself." He realized that he made the wrong decision. I like this Darius. "Set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." So he's working, trying to figure out some way how to get around this until dark. He couldn't get it done. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. That's what we told you before. Don't you know that? Don't you know what the law says? Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, and this is remarkable. I don't know how long he knew Daniel, but not a long period of time. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a statement. I'm convinced that he knew a lot about Daniel. You know, he was made, the night when Daniel probably met him was when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall. And it would be absolutely positive that he knew that Daniel was there, and Daniel told what was going to happen. That king was going to be slain. He was weighed on the balances and found wanting. There's no way Darius wouldn't know that. And that he was, they'd actually make him that night third in the kingdom. And you know, for, I guess, centuries of people made arguments and said, well, there was no third one in the kingdom. But yes, there was another king there. And Daniel would have made the third one. But he was convinced that God could deliver him. My guess is he may very well have been acquainted when other occasions, like the children of Israel, when they were delivered. But a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. I'm not a Hebrew student, but I looked up the word, and it carries the idea of a signet made with a ring. That was to certify it. The official stamp. A signet, his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So everything's done. It's all sealed. Daniel's in the lion's den for the night. They sealed the tomb of Christ, didn't they? How much good did that do? There was a great stone over the tomb. The women didn't think they couldn't remove it. They knew they needed some help, but it was removed. In Matthew 27:62 and following, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. For years, I didn't quite dawn on me that they were understanding that he said he's going to rise on the third day. And the apostles didn't understand, and they had lost all hope. Isn't that something? Their hope had to be revived by the resurrection of Christ. So he said to command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure till the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And my understanding that the Greek word means to seal with a ring. They had the certification, evidently, that nobody could get in, signed and sealed, just like Daniel. But the Bible says, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. We come back to Proverbs 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. So it was a long night for Darius, but a safe night for Daniel. The lions didn't hurt Daniel. You know, there's nothing wrong with these lions. I would be willing to say, and personally have no doubt, that they use this den quite a bit. It causes fear in the people. And you imagine what it'd be like facing a lion's den. There are different ways to die, but that wouldn't be my choice. Would that be your choice to be placed in the lion's den? I'd be willing to say they were very, very hungry. There wasn't anything wrong with their appetite. In Daniel 6 and 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. When I get to C Street, I'm going to tell him this. Every night before Charlotte and I go to bed, we've got a band at the house, and they come in and they play us music before we go to sleep. Isn't that nice? Huh? No, that doesn't happen. Why? We're not a king, at least not in the eyes of the world. But a king, he's used to having something to eat before he goes to bed. What would you like? What would you like to eat? What would you like to drink? He's fasting. That was a normal thing. Hey, have these instruments come in. Let's hear a little music. I'm going to bed. Let's hear some string music. No. He's very sincere about this. Daniel had won his affection, his respect. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the lion's den. He didn't lay around early in the morning, like Jesus got up a long time before day. He got up early in the morning, and he went with haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable, that's, believe it or not, that's the way it should be said, a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, now listen to this, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? He knew about Daniel's service to God. When people look at us, do they see that we serve God continually? With our coming to the worship services, you know, people observe that. I found out really shortly after being a Christian, not too long, that people really observe you if you're a Christian. When I lived in Jamestown, we lived there. I had somebody come up to me one day. Probably was in a Hardee's, is right across the street from the church building. Said, every time I look over, that parking lot's filled. They look, they know, they see. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. And that was a normal statement. We mentioned that sort of like God saved the king. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I have not done anything against you. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. How often are we exceeding glad? Exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Now listen to this. Because he believed in his God. So we, as Christians, we may see a lot more persecution. In my judgment, it's been coming for some time. And there'll be Christians, elders, preachers, members that will be slain. As a matter of fact, if you watch the news this week, they're killing people that believe in Christ and try to follow him down in Nigeria by the thousands. And you know that they're arresting them in China and other places. So we will be persecuted. Hebrews 11, 32 and 33. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. It's spelled that way from the Greek. Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah. Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, now listen, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought or worked righteousness, obtained promises, and then he says, stop the mouths of lions. So, how do we prepare for the lion's den? faith. I have to have a strong faith in God. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Recently we pointed out in John chapter 3 that you have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. John 3 and 3, that you have to be born of water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. Have you done that? Have you been born again? No. One thing is certain, faith is the victory. You have to have enough faith to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to verse 24, and the topic that I have here in the outline is, and the wicked reaped what they sowed. That's always a true saying. In Daniel 6 and 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Isn't that something? Make a trap and dig a pit. Don't be surprised but that you will fall in it. They made the trap. They lied. They sowed this wicked plan against God. And remember, there is no wisdom. There is no understanding. There is no counsel against God. But I believe in the crowning point of the entire lesson is found in Daniel 6, 25-28. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And they didn't know about him. They did when they got this decree. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and to the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In the book of Daniel, we read about him even in the third year of Cyrus. So Daniel was a very young man taken into captivity. As far as I understand, and far as we know, he never got to go back to his home, to Israel. But he was always with his God. In Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Brethren, that statement is just as true tonight as when it was stated by David about 3,000 years ago. God is going to be exalted in this world. The question is, are you going to exalt him? Kings like Nebuchadnezzar and Darius praised the Almighty God, saw his works and wonders, and had a fear of him and a reverence. What about you? There's nobody going to make you obey Jesus. Jesus sent his apostles out, and on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't do that, then you'll just have to face the Lord on the judgment day. On that particular day, it says about 3,000 people obeyed. And it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was no voting. You understand? There's no voting. They couldn't keep you coming out. When you obey Jesus, nobody can keep you from being in his church or his body. washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Will you believe in God? Will you prepare yourself for the troubles ahead by trusting in the Lord with all your heart? We ask you, if you need to come, come to the Lord as we stand and as we sing.